Well, get your Bibles out this morning. And if you would turn in your Bibles to the book of... I lost my place. Romans chapter 10, if you would, please. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, Miss Maggie, and all the work you're doing up there, find me a legislator that wants to really push an open carry law, and then we'll work with him too. Everybody in Texas, just wake up in the morning, strap your pistol on like you used to, and tie it down to your leg. Go to town. Praise God. I better pray after that. Let's pray. Father, I just declare right now as we approach your word, that as the word is shared today, Lord God, and it comes off of my lips, that it's not my words, but it's your words. And it's going to bring power, it's going to bring faith, it's going to bring assurance into the hearts of the hearers. Lord, I just declare today that this message is a message I know the devil does not want out. He does not want us to hear it. He does not want us to walk in. He does not want us to understand it, because he knows if he does, that he's lost. So I declare today that every ear is open. Every heart is open to receive, that our hearts are open to have the seed of the Word of God planted in us. And I declare that people's lives are going to change today. Their course of destiny is going to change today. That Lord, this is the pinnacle of their life today, and it swings so far, Lord God, to you and in your direction, that, Lord, they'll never, ever have to go back into the old ways, Lord. So, Lord, I thank you for it. I praise you for it. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. I'm preaching this message, Eat Up a Stupid, right? And about how, you know, just basically, I'm just going to, you know, give you a, if you haven't heard the messages, you just need to go back, listen to the tapes, or go to the website and go view it on video, and you can see all the videos on it. But the bottom line is this, that so many times in life, we keep making the same mistakes over and over again. And my definition of that is that we're just eat up with stupid. We just keep doing the same things over and over again and having the same exact results, and then kind of praying and wondering why things don't change. Well, if they're going to change, then that means we have to make a change. We have to understand what God wants us to do and walk in it. And so we don't want to live there anymore. And it's my determination that in 2012, that we're going to get out of hell in 2012. That I want to help you to step out of those places of torment in your life, of fear and anxiety and worry and financial problems and sickness and you know, all plagues and blight. How about that? All the creepy things that come in life, that you can get rid of that junk, that you can be free to be who God called you to be in 2012. But in order to do that, you have to do something. Okay, you have to do something. I can't just preach to you and you say, oh, wasn't that a nice message? And then go out and get in your car and go by, you know, before you get through with lunch, you already forgot. Right? And then somebody said, well, what did Pastor preach? I don't remember. It was good. I remember it was good. Yeah, we laughed. It was a good service. But you didn't get anything. We got to change. We got to understand. We got to grab hold of the Word of God is not for us just to read. And like a story, it's an application to our lives. It's learning and it's experience. And so I preached this message about last week, and I think maybe even possibly the week before, about the three revelations that you've got to get in your life. You have to get three revelations. And the first one was, is that you have got to understand your position on earth and heaven. You've got to understand who you are in life and your position on earth. What is God looking at you to do? For too long, Christianity is just kind of preach this milquetoast religion where it's all about, you know, oh, you get saved, but then you're not doing anything until you die, then you hope you go to heaven. And that the gap between salvation of you confessing Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and actually entering the gates of heaven, that's just a void, and you just kind of, que sera, sera. Some people make it, some people don't. Some people are, you know, have a better life than others and whatever. That's bull. That is not what the Bible teaches. It's not what the Bible intends. The Bible intends for you to understand your position on this earth, that God gave you dominion. He didn't give you dominion over my life, okay, because we're free will beings. God doesn't take dominion over my life. I give him dominion over my life. He doesn't take it. You can't have the right to take dominion over me. But you have all the rights in the world to take dominion over your household, your finances, your health, your children, your job, all the situations around you. You have the right to take dominion over that. The place you live, you're an American, so you have a right to take dominion. You're from Texas, and so you have a right to have dominion in Texas. You don't in New York, other than being a citizen of the United States. And if it affects us all, you following me here? Whatever dominion you have, the Bible says God gave you dominion. We looked at it last time in Genesis. But I want to show you something today. Because I got to thinking about this, and I said, I got to back up some. Because I can't tell you that you have dominion unless I tell you how to take dominion. So I wanted to back up just a minute and show you in life, if you're going to walk in dominion, how do you as a Christian, how do you as a husband and a wife, how do you take dominion over your household? Okay? Because you know the Bible says we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. You're not wrestling against physical things. You're wrestling against spiritual things. So let's look at Romans chapter 10 here for a second, and let me show you how you take dominion. It says in Romans 10, verse 8, but what does it say? He's talking about, Paul's quoting, like, what does the Bible say? What does it say? The word is near you. It's in your mouth. It's in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Now, that's a scripture that we use a lot of times for people to commit their lives to Christ for the very first time. But look at what it says here. It says, first, the word's near you. And then where is the word? Where does it say it is? First, it's in your mouth, right? And then where does it get? Wow, I mean, the word of God that gets in your mouth, then if it comes out of your mouth, it gets into your heart. Is that what it says? Okay, well, look at it. That if you confess with your mouth, confess, everybody say confess. You know, we think of confess, the word confess, like, okay, I'm guilty, I did it. That kind of confess, right? That you admit wrong. But the Bible definition of the word confess here is not that at all. It's not standing up and saying, I mean, there's a place for confession, but that's not what it's talking about here. What it's talking about here, confession, could be translated the word declaration. It's what you're declaring out of your mouth. It's a different, you know, you see, you got to put it in the right context. Yeah, it's your confession, but it's your declaration. What are you saying out of your mouth? Now see, there's a lot of teaching out there, a lot of New Age teaching and a lot of just worldly ideas and thoughts that says, oh yes, you need to speak positive. If you speak positive, it's going to be good. And it is a proven fact. You're going to be happier if you speak positive. That's true. But you're not going to get all of hell to move out of your life unless you're speaking God's word, because God's word's different than any other word. God's word is the declaration of when God said, let there be light, God said, his word went forth and it created. When you let God's word go out of your mouth, it begins to create something in your life. It's not just a word, it's creating something. He says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and then what? Believe, right? He said up here, the word is here, it's in your mouth, and then it's in your heart. He said, if you confess with your mouth, then believe with your heart. So it's still the mouth and the heart, the mouth and the heart, the mouth and the heart, the mouth and the heart. And you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you're saved. Folks, listen to me. The very first experience you have with Christ comes about you confessing something out of your mouth and believing something in your heart, and boom, your life changes from headed to hell, burning in hell, sizzle like a sausage to the gates of heaven. It's sliding down the streets of gold. If you're going to tell me today that confession, oh, well, I don't know, Pastor, about confessing the word. I don't know if it really works or not. Are you saved? Did you get saved? Well, yeah, but that's different. Why? Why? Why do we take something like getting saved and say, oh, yeah, okay, that's right. That's the right way to do it. Yes, you've got to confess with your mouth and believe in your heart. If I said, you know, and I'm kind of a stickler about this. If I said, if someone came to the front and said, listen, I want to make Jesus the Lord of my life. And I said, do you believe in Jesus? And they went, mm-hmm. I said, no. What'd you say? Anytime I baptize somebody, I said, do you believe in Jesus Christ, the Lord and Savior of your life? And I make them say out of their mouth. I mean, I don't squeeze their neck. Say it, I said. No, not like that. I don't make them say it that way, but I tell them, well, then say that out of your mouth. And they say, I believe in Jesus Christ. It's my Savior. I make them make a declaration, a confession. Why? You don't want to, it's not a silent, it's not, you got to say it so those words can go out and they can begin to create. Just think of it. You just go up to the front and you say, I believe in Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Boom, man. All of hell gets thrown out and all of heaven comes in. With the confession of your mouth and the belief in your heart. Well, if it works for just that one event, salvation, let me tell you something. It works for everything. If you walk around in your house and say, listen, we're going down. Ship's sinking. We ain't going to make it. My God. Things are coming. Oh, God. We're not going to pay the bills. We're going to lose the house. I'm telling you, this is what's going to happen. I can already see the progress. I'm going to lose my job, and we're going to do this, and then we're going to lose the house, and whatever. I tell you, heaven is looking at you like, why are they so eat up with stupid? The angels are saying, excuse me? What are they saying? They got saved. We just threw all the hell out of their life and brought heaven in by their confession, and now they're going to walk around and say that? You see, folks, the world wants us to walk and say, oh, you know, we're not going to make it. The world wants to come upon you, and it wants you to think, because it doesn't want you to make it, but you got to understand something. It's the devil's tactic to get you to doubt, to get depressed, get discouraged, and then to say it so that he knows it won't come to pass. That's his tactic. He knows he's not going to win unless he can get you, your confession lined up with him. So, I mean, I don't want the morning, early morning session in hell to say, flip on the computer and say, oh yeah, it looks like Robert's doing good this morning. He's saying just like what we want him to. And I have agreed with hell before. We all have. There's times in life I've gotten discouraged, and times in life I begin to say things out of my mouth that just wasn't God. My confession was wrong. Because I would look at something in the natural. But the Bible tells me not to look at the things that are natural. But they're there and I see it. And I go, oh gosh. Wow. Sometimes you're just tired and grumpy. You know? Sometimes you just need to get more sleep. You know, I mean, there's no reason to say, oh, you're a horrible person. I mean, maybe you just need some more sleep. Right? And then you won't be so grumpy, and then you can get your confession right. But I'm just telling you, what you're saying out of your mouth is arranging, is organizing, is creating your world. How you take dominion is you get your confession lined up with God's word. You get your confession coming out of your mouth that lines up with God's word. Now, I want to tell you something. I've seen Christians before hear this message or hear a message like this and then start trying to live this. And then all they do is just say what the word says, but there's still fear and terror in their eyes. Okay? Now, I want to tell you something. It's okay. Because you may be saying it out of your mouth starting out and you don't believe it. The confession's coming out of your mouth, but the belief has not got created in your heart. But you are not going to get the heart believing until you get the mouth confessing, so you've got to start somewhere. You with me? And it's okay to turn to your friend and say, I know I'm saying the right things, but there's some fear in my heart. I really need some help. Keep praying for me, okay? It's not all perfect yet. I don't have it down yet. It's okay. It's all right. You're not admitting defeat. You're not walking down. Listen to me. We try to make faith a science. And all I'm saying is faith is just simply, do you believe in Jesus? Do you believe he's able to do it? Do you believe he's going to do it? Do you believe if you came to Jesus, he's going to take care of it? That's faith. We try to make it some sort of a, I think I released my faith. You either are believing or you aren't. And all you have to do is listen to what comes out of your mouth to tell if you're believing or not. If you pray a real sweet prayer, oh, Jesus, I just thank you that you're taking care of everything. We love you. You're so wonderful. I just release my faith and I just love you, Lord. You're taking care of it. And then you stop praying. You go into that there, sit down at breakfast, turn around to the husband and say, we're going down. We ain't going to make it. My God, it's terrible. I don't know what's going to happen. You're not in faith. But you got to start somewhere. You got to start getting hold of the faith. If you're going to take dominion over your households, you got to start somewhere and you got to grab yourself and say, what are you saying? Okay, shut up, mouth. Be quiet. Stop saying that. Listen, no, that is not what the Word of God says. The Word of God says this, and then you confess that out of your mouth. And you do it till the heart believes it. You say, well, brother, that's just brainwashing. No, it's called blood washing. The blood of Jesus washes your brain and gets the doubt out so you can have some faith. Romans chapter 10, verse 22 says, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Now, I was over there giving my nephew John Michael a hard time this morning because I asked him, I said, do you have a Rhema notebook? And he's like, yeah, I've heard of these. And so I knew I had him. Okay, because I was practicing my preaching on him before I got started this morning. And I said, I want to tell you something. By next Sunday, you better have one. I'm Uncle Robert talking to you now. I ain't no pastor until it's Uncle Robert talking to you. I want you to have you better have a notebook when you come to church next Sunday, and you better have 5 scriptures that you read this week written down inside that book. You better show it to me. Or I said, I want to peel your head. See, I get to talk to him like that. I can't do that quite so forcefully to y'all, but listen to me. This little black book I got here contains about 450 scriptures in it. That over the last 20 years of my life, I learned this from a person of how to do this, and it's changed my life, and my family's life, my children's life. And what I did is every time I sit down and I read my Bible. Now let me raise your hand. How many of you in here read your Bible? Okay, all right. Got you right there. God saw that. You lied, you're in trouble. From now on, after this day, do not read your Bible unless you have your notebook with you or a piece of paper with you. Don't read it unless you got your Rhema notebook with you. Now, Rhema means, it's the Greek word, means it's what's real to you, a revelation to you. But as you're reading your Bible and you come across a verse, speak something to you. He's like, that's good. Write it down. Write it down. Start compiling a list. As you read, you write it. You read it, you write it. You read it, you write it. You read it, you write it. Then that word that you have written down in there, that becomes your confession. Let me give you a for instance. This is just one of the titles in here of who I am. I've been preaching, I thought I'd use this. This is the way I live, right here. I start out, and this is how I start my confession, and this is how I start my prayer. Father, I thank you today, according to Romans 8:17, that I am a joint heir with Christ Jesus. Oh, Lord. According to Romans 4:6, that you said I'm a son of God. According to Ephesians 2:6, that I am actually seated with Christ in heavenly places. Lord, that's too good to believe. I can hardly believe it, but your word says it, so I'm confessing it and believing it. According to Ephesians 1:3, my authority lies in heaven, Lord. So I thank you that when I'm praying this morning, heaven's hearing me and heaven's going to move. According to Matthew 5:16, you said for me to go, let my light so shine before men so they may see my good works in heaven and follow you, O Lord. So I want to shine today. According to Matthew 10:13, you said I'm supposed to leave peace everywhere I go. So Lord, keep me in remembrance. I'm going to leave peace everywhere I go, not anger and wrath. Now, Lord, Matthew 6:22 says that if your eye is single, your whole body will be full of light. And oh, how great is that light and that and the darkness dispelled when I keep my eye focused upon you. So, Lord, let me stay focused today. I declare I'm a focused person today because your word says I'm supposed to stay focused. I'm going to stay focused on you, Jesus. I declare that according to Isaiah 10:27 says, it's the anointing of God that breaks the yoke. And according to 1 John 2:20, I have an anointing from the Holy One. You see, folks, this is what I'm talking about. This is my confession. This is my prayer, and this is my confession. This is how you take dominion over your household. This is how you take dominion over your life. This is how you take dominion over your children. This is how you take dominion by telling the world, everything out there, on heaven and earth, what you believe. Y'all are looking at me like a cow going through Newgate. There's no other way to live. Listen to me. You cannot wake up and start your day and say, God, just please be with me. Help me today. I hope I can make it to the end of the day. Oh, God. And expect that everything in your dominion knows what you believe and is moving and your world's being created around you. You have to stand up. Listen to me. You do not know how many times in my life and my family, listen to me. I mean, I'm living proof that my wife and I had no money. We didn't want like we had a big savings account. We didn't want to dip into it. I'm talking about we had no money. No money. No pennies, no quarters, no jar stash, no little stash over here. Zero, zip, nada. And I would walk out on the back of my porch, and I would walk up and down that porch, and I would preach to the trees, I'd preach to the dog, I'd preach to the cats, and I'd say, in the name of Jesus, I declare the Bible says that I'm blessed. It says that according to Leviticus 25 and 21, the commanded blessing of God is upon my family, and we are blessed. I don't look like we're blessed, but I declare we're blessed. Lord, I declare heaven says we're blessed, so blessed, get in my house, because blessed has to be there, not poor. And then I'd get violent. Am I telling the truth? My kids would see me. I'd walk up and down shouting in the back of the house and say, that ain't right. That ain't what the word of God says I'm blessed. And I ain't blessed. So blessed, get in blessed in my house. And I'd just fight. I'd wrestle. I'd tell all the world. I'd walk them down, tell the trees, tell everything. And anybody that's around me is like, shut up. I ain't listening to you, tree. You ain't telling me, no doubt, because I'd have a doubt thought come in. I say, don't you just shut up, tree. You ain't talking to me. I'm going to tell you something. When I finally crested over into my life, our family's life, and God took us through some events, and he showed us some things, and we arranged some things, and we changed some things, and we started to see, all of a sudden, then one day, the tide turned. And one day, the tide turned, and then one day, I was on my porch saying, Lord, I thank you, I have an abundance now. What do you want me to do with that abundance, Lord? Who do you want me to give it to, Lord? I don't want it. I got too much now. What do you want me to do with it, Lord? Who am I supposed to give to? Prayer changed. Prayer changed. You see, but I took dominion over my life by praying over it like that. My children would be sick. I'd walk to the house and say, in the name of Jesus, I declare, that is not right. That's not the way it's supposed to be. I declare right now in the name of Jesus, they got to get well. Because the Bible says, pray for the sick, and the sick are going to get well. So the sick got to get well. So you're sick, you got to get well. That's the way it is. That's what the word says. And I tell you what, listen, it did not happen like a big flash move overnight. Even a heavyweight fight goes 15 rounds. There was no in my life, One shot knockout punch in the first round. Those things do happen. There are fights that have gone down in history like that of a 12-second first-round fight. But that's not too many times. It's 15 rounds, bloody and beat up. At the end, so tired you can't hardly swing, but you're still swinging. To this day, I'm still swinging. To this day, I'm still adding scriptures. To this day, I'm still pushing myself. To this day, I'm still going over, and sometimes I forget what I already learned. And so I have to go back and remind myself and keep myself going, but I'm still swinging, I'm still fighting, because I know there's no other way to take dominion than that. If you don't do it, listen to me, you will not even live a mediocre life, you will live a life that's going backwards all the time. There's an old song, it's called Farther Along, and one of the verses in it says, you know, let's see how if I can get it. I have to sing the song here. Basically, why some people don't have as much trouble as other people? And I don't really understand that all the time, and no, some people bring it on themselves, and some people just seem to just fall into trouble. Seem like they just walk in it. All I know is you can change trouble in your life by what comes out of your mouth. You can't live your life and say, I don't know, we've always made it. This has just been terrible. We've always done this. We've always made a mistake. Yeah, you ain't ever going to make it. I mean, you just might as well shoot yourself in the foot. You're not going to get anywhere like an attitude like that. You're not going to take dominion. Hell is going to seize your brain, and it's going to determine and drive and direct you where it wants to in life. This is not the power of positive thinking. This is the word of the living God in your life and what He promised you becoming real to you. This world, listen, when I wake up in the morning, this world is not going to tell me how it's going to go down that day. I'm telling it how it's going to go down that day. When I wake up in the morning, I'm driving down the road, I am telling this world how it's going to line up. Does it always fall right into place? No, but it will by tomorrow. As you get to seeing dominion work in your life, this last, when I talked about the other revelation you've got to have about trust in your life, when you start walking in that dominion, you start to see God moving, you start to see what you're confessing coming true out of your mouth, it starts to build your faith and strengthen you. And you start to have dominion over it. Used to be, every time when I was working and something didn't go right, I just kind of fell to pieces. I just kind of got mad, just wanted to just throw things and just, you know, act like I used to do, just cuss and throw things. And that tendency was still in me. And I got to say, well, Lord, this ain't right. I can't do this, you know. And so I began to just, every time things didn't go right, I just stopped and said, okay, it's going to be okay. I just got to pray. And everybody would just look at me like, what? And I said, just leave me alone. Let me just pray. It'll be okay. And then, of course, you know, you say things like that on a construction site. Everybody gets so freaky, you know, they don't want to talk to you anymore. And so I said, I just got to pray. It'll be okay. And it's like, no, it's not okay. Do you understand? This is not right. And I said, it'll be okay. Just let me pray. It'll be all right. And before, I didn't have that. I didn't have that understanding. And I just fall to pieces, get mad, and act like everybody else. Then all of a sudden I said, and I have been seeing such miracles happen that I said, let's just pray. And by the, you know, just I just need about 12 hours, and then God will do a miracle and something will happen and just fixes itself. You know, even at the time when I told you that somehow or another on a slab, we poured a slab and I thought we had it all measured out right where this piece of plumbing needed to be, and it was right there in the slab, and I knew it was right. I would measure it. Everybody measured it. And then we poured it, and we did it, and then we started building the walls, and man, we weren't even close. We were like 6 foot out. Couldn't even like hide it under the cabinet. I mean, man, we were out in the middle of the floor. And I just couldn't believe it. I was like, how could we have missed that? And so I called the plumber and said, man, how could we have missed that? Well, he didn't miss it. I said, boy, it's out in the middle of the floor. And I wanted just to get mad. I wanted just tell everybody off and just get angry about the whole situation, you know. And I said, well, let's just pray. Let's pray. It'll be okay. We'll just pray. Everybody's like, yeah, you can pray all you want to, but there is a piece of pipe in the middle of a concrete slab in the wrong place. You think it's just going to move? I said, no, it's not going to move, but something will work out. Just don't worry. Something will work out. And so a few days later, this owner comes up and he says, you know, I wonder if we could change. I was just thinking, can we make any changes now? And I said, yeah, we can make some changes. Where do you want to make some changes? Well, over here. I think this is too small over here. So it was over in the section where the pipe was. So I'm like standing on the hole because I don't want him to see that we've got a pipe in the middle of the slab, right? And so he's like, well, listen, we move that wall over here. Let's do this. And then he went around the other side. Could we shift it a little bit? And I said, yeah, come on, because every time they're shifting, it's getting closer to my pipe. And I'm like, sure, man, move it whatever you want to. Come on down over there. Yeah, bring that up. But move it over here if you want to. I don't care. And so, man, they're moving it. So after about 3 hours of, you know, gosh, I'm sorry, but could we move this wall? Oh, I'm so sorry, but could we move that wall? Oh, you know, oh, I just feel so terrible that we're moving these walls. Nah, it's okay. It's no problem. As God is my witness, that wall fell right over that pipe. As if I had enough sense. And then the owner turned to me and said, oh, gosh, what about the plumbing? This won't be a problem. This won't be a problem at all. And I brought my guys in. I said, look there. Now the wall's right there. And everybody just went, okay, yeah, uh-huh. I mean, like, nobody wanted to say anything. It was a holy moment. You know, everybody's like, don't move. I said, man, that's our God. That's who we serve, okay? I'm just talking about when you start to see that, then it builds your trust, it builds your faith, and it builds your, because you've had this experience, because you've been confessing it, and you're speaking it out of your mouth. And all I did was say, well, I tell you what, Lord, I just thank you that you said you order my steps and prepare my way, and I prayed this morning that you'd order my steps and prepare my way, and that pipe got put right there, so I don't know why it's there, but bless God, you're going to have to tell me what to do to make this thing work right, because that's how I prayed. And I'm telling you, you got two choices. You can freak out, or you can pray. You can freak out, or you can take dominion. And no matter what it is, no matter what comes into your house, oh man, that's why I have this little book. I have it written down because there's times I've gotten it out just shaking, saying, oh my God, I can't believe what's happening. And I just start speaking my word. I just start going over it. I just start reading it out of my mouth. I just start, here's my faith section. I just declare today, 2 Corinthians 5:7, I walk by faith and not by sight. Oh God, I see it, but it looks terrible. I'm going to walk by faith. 2 Corinthians 4:18 says, no, don't look at the things that are seen, but the things that are unseen. So, Lord, today I'm just not going to look at that things that are seen. Oh, I'm just going to cover my eyes up and just see your word, Lord. 1 Corinthians 2:9 says, eyes not seen, nor ears heard, nor has entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those who love him. But it has been by the Holy Ghost. So thank you, Lord. You're going to reveal to me what needs to be. The pipe's in the wrong place. You're going to show me. Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. So Lord, I thank you. Faith is my substance today. I'm clinging to your faith, to your word. Romans 4:17 says, call those things that be not as though they are. So Lord, pipe, get in a wall somewhere. Y'all with me? I'm talking about this is the life you got to live. This is not just preacher life. This is the life. Listen, I am a preacher secondary. Listen to me. I'm a Christian first. I have a life to live. I have a wife. I have a family. I have bills. I have sickness that comes into my household. I have children that I've raised. I have grandchildren. I live a life just like y'all. This is all overflow. I only do this because there's overflow. This is not my job. I don't preach for us, because it's a job. This is my overflow, y'all just get. This is my life. Is this right? I'm not just preaching. This is my life, is it not, sweetheart? The only problem is now lately I told my wife, I said, I don't know what's going on with her, man. I ain't getting as much preaching time in because she's preaching at me now. Tide's been turned, man. She's going to sit down here. I got to tell you something. I was like, yes, ma'am. Let's go. I have a scripture. I have scriptures for everything. I have wild scriptures, crazy things, things that most people would say, I don't know if that's going to work, Robert. Let me give you a few. This is the problem. Can't see it anymore. Psalms 3:7. This is scriptural. Lord, I thank you today you're going to bust my enemies in the mouth. It's scripture. Go read it. Psalms 3:7. It says, man, the Lord will knock the teeth out of your enemies. Oh, I like that, Lord. My enemies, those that are coming against me, just bust them in the mouth today, Lord. You see, folks, I'm just telling you, this is the way you got to live. This is taking dominion. This is taking dominion over your life, your family. You can only do it like this. There's no other way to do it. I do not care what, listen, I'm right. You say, well, Pastor, that's not what we believe in the denomination. Listen, I'm telling you, they're wrong. I'm right. There ain't no other way to live. I put it to test. I see it work. I see it work in my family. I've seen it work in their family and in my family's family. And I see it work in them. And there's no other way to live but this way. Revelation chapter 12, verse 10. Go ahead and flip that up there. It says, then I heard with a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation, strength, and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come, for the accuser of the brethren have accused them before God day and night has been cast down. Verse 11 says, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. For they did not love their lives even in death. They overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of the testimony, the word of their confession, what's coming out of their mouth. God told Joshua, he says, look, go walk around the country, and then every place of your foot treads is going to be yours. But said, listen to me, don't stop letting the word of God come out of your mouth. You've got to meditate on it. You've got to chew on it. You've got to do it. Because you see what's going to happen? You're going to face giants, and you're going to say, oh, it's too hard. I don't know if I can do it. But if you've been chewing on the word, then the word's going to come out of your mouth. And the giants are going to look small because you see how big God is. Listen, folks, our Jesus, death, hell, and the grave couldn't hold him in. You think poverty or sickness bothers him? You think he's scared? You think heaven sits up there and says, oh, I don't know what we're going to do? You think God that created this world in 6 days sat back, drank a Coke under a tree, glass of iced tea, sweet tea, that's what it was, drinking sweet tea underneath the tree, took a rest? You think that he could create this world in 6 days, but he couldn't fix your world? He can't fix your world. Listen to me. He cannot fix your world if you don't give him place. Because he's not going to violate your free will. But if you take dominion over your household by getting God's word over your household and over your situations and over your plans, then God moves in, and when God moves in, everything gets taken care of. Everything gets taken care of. Which takes me to my second revelation that you've got to have, is why you are here, and you're here to worship him. Folks, you're created. You're a worsher. Whether you say, oh, so well, I can't sing, can't carry a tune in a bucket. I'm not talking about your music ability. I'm talking about in every day then, you're walking in dominion, you're speaking God's word, and then you're saying, God, I just thank you, it's taking place. Saying thank you to God is worship. To just say, God, I thank you. Whew. Thank you, thank you, thank you. It's happening. You may not be as expressive as I am. You may not be as loud as I am. That's not what it's about. It's about taking God's word, putting it out there, and then worshiping him that it's going to come to pass. It's an everyday saying, God, I just thank you that you're with me. When a situation or problem comes up, you turn to his word and you turn to him. That's worship. Oh, yes, there's times we come in and we worship and music is played and all that, but worship is daily, every day, every moment of your life, everything and every situation, you're just worshiping him. Which brings me to the third revelation you got to have. And the third revelation that you've got to get in you is once you start to see this word working, you start to see your worship working, and you start to see God moving in your life, you begin to have experience, you can have a revelation of trusting him. There's so many things that come up in our lives that you just, when you look at it in the natural sense, you can't handle it. Can't handle it. You look at it in the natural sense and you say, oh God, I don't know how that can happen. One time, when we had no money and our well went out and, you know, we had no water, no money to fix the well. And I said, you know, God, this is just not right. You got to do something. Phone rings. Guy called me and said, listen, I've got too many hunters in and I don't have enough guides. Could you possibly just, I know it's going to be a Saturday evening hunt, but is there possibly that you could guide this guy? And I said, sure, no problem. So I took the job, went out, it's going to be extra money, and got it. And guy gave me a big bonus, big tip. He killed, and I killed. And I had the money, and I came home, and I'll never forget it. I called well service to come out, and it was exactly the amount of money that was all in that tip and everything to fix that thing. And I said, man, God, when I see things like that, it just lets me know how real He is. It built my faith. That experience took me to a new level of faith in my life. Oh, it's easy. Now, don't get me wrong here. It's easy to have a bank account full of money that just keeps having a supply coming in. It's easy to have an oil well that the money just keeps coming in because then you don't have to worry about it. But let me tell you something. You're really a strong, rich person when you've had to go through life's experiences to learn what faith is, because no matter if the oil well's pumping or not, you're still living. I don't know who said it. I took it and adopted it. I've been rich and I've been poor. Rich is better. I like a big bank account full of money so I can give. And the Bible says that we should be believing for an abundance. So we have something for every good work that comes up. Okay? But I want to tell you something. If you just got an abundance but you never believed for an abundance, it's two different things. When you have to believe God through every situation of life and every one of those experiences, it causes you to have great trust and great faith in Him. In what we've seen take place in just our own legislation and what's going on here, I know my faith has grown. When I first walked into the state capitol, looked around, I thought, I don't know how it's going to work. I felt like a little piece of dust, you know, swept over in a corner somewhere in the enormity of all this stuff going on, all the big suits walking by, all the, you know, and I was just like, gosh, who are we? And you know who we are now? We're the ones in the governor's office. Right? Our name's known. How did it happen? It was just Jesus. Just followed His obedience and just, it was just God, right? Did it work like I thought it was going to work? No. No, didn't come past like I thought it was going to come to pass. Does it matter? No. As long as it got done. Isn't that the objective? I want to say one more thing, and then I'm through. I'm actually going to shut this off so I don't keep going. And just hear me on this. The world wants to teach our children today that it's okay to lose. And I'm here today to tell you it is not okay to lose. I'm here today to tell you that you have to take dominion over your household. Dominion, and do not settle for second best. Do not settle for just making it through. Do not settle for just staying alive. Do not settle for just your head's right above water and you just, oh, my mouth's out at least, I can breathe. No. You don't be satisfied until you're walking on water with Jesus. And you fight and you don't give the devil one stinking inch. You don't give him one place. You know, there's these exercise. I think they're like exercise dummies, you know, that you box. I don't know if you've ever seen those things. They're supposed to have a light that comes on, and you hit it at the certain place when that light comes on, and causes you to hit. Now, I've just seen it on television. I've never actually seen one, but on a commercial, you know, when you're like, and I've always thought of it. That's what we need in our house, you know, and we need that to be the devil or whatever situation is going on, poverty, finance, you know, your financial problems or sickness or whatever. And then that's what you got to get your scripture focused at. And you just keep punching. You're just punching. You're just punching. You're just until you see that thing knocked out and it's down. And then you move to the next one. And then you just start punching. And you fight. And you fight. And you punch. And you work out until you've got that defeated. And then you go to the next one. And you just keep on. And that, if you could get that concept, that's what you do. You do not stop till you win. And we may not be too buff in the physical. Maybe you are. Or maybe you're just deceived and think you are, but you're not. That's me. I always think I can do something. And now I've gotten older where I say, I think I'll crawl down out of the back of the pickup instead of jumping off the back. Might hurt myself. Hate to admit that, but that is the truth. Used to not look too far down. Now it really looks far down. I jumped off the other day. Shooting pain went up both my heels for a day before. I said, why did I do that? My God. Just crawl off. Now I'm losing my thought. Dadgum. But you, yeah, okay. You're not going to give up. You're not going to, listen to me. You do not give one inch. You do not let one area of your life say, well, you know, and yield a little there. You have got to fight. You may not be buff in the physical, but in the spiritual realm, you've got to get buff. You have to be a terror to the devil, a terror to the enemy, a terror to anything that wants to come upon you. You got to make all of hell sweat and say, oh, don't make me go to Robert's house. I read the scripture to you. When the sons of Sceva were casting out the demon said, Jesus I know and Paul I know, but who are you? You want to become a person to where it's Frank I know and Jesus I know, but who are you? You want to know, you want your name in there. You want them to know who you are. You want hell to know who you are. You want heaven to know who you are, and you want hell to know who you are. The church, I'm right. Don't read your Bible without a piece of paper with you. Write those scriptures down. Get them coming out of your mouth. If you want to cheat, there's a way to cheat. I'll actually show you the way to cheat because I want to help you pass the test. You cheat, you go by God's promises. And you just copy the scriptures out of them. Oh, yeah, you'll miss something, but you can at least get started. My Lord, I'd rather have you cheated and going than not doing anything at all. I give you one even better than that. I think they're still in the bookstore. Those little cards, those little strips of paper. Darcy wrote all those things up, put them in there. There's a scriptures in there, put up there for everything you need right there. They're free. Don't pass it, church. Grab hold of it. Take dominion. That's how you take dominion. Get that revelation in your life. Learn who you are on earth and in heaven. Amen? Amen. Praise God. Stand to your feet, if you would, please. Can I have my prayer team come down, please? Church, if you need prayer, we're here for you. We want to pray with you. We want to believe God. Miracles, signs, wonders come past in your life. I don't know what you're fighting in life, but don't fight it alone. You don't have to. You need agreement. The Bible says if two of us agree as touching anything, it'd be done. So don't pass up the opportunity to just get some agreement, some prayer. of whatever's going on. And so I want you to just take the person's hand beside you and look at them and say, do you know Jesus? Church, if you're here today and you don't know Jesus, you don't know if you died today, you'd go to heaven. Or listen, I had a new thought the other day. If you could be talked out of Jesus being your Lord, well, then you know you're probably not saved. Because it says you confess with your mouth, but you believe in your heart. If you can be talked out of what you believe, you didn't believe it. And if you're not sure of your salvation, if you're not sure today, if you died that you'd go to heaven, or you're not sure, you might could be talked out of your salvation. Well, then I want to pray with you. And what I want to do is just right here at our prayer teams down here, at the end of this service, just come down here and we want to pray with you. We want to get you to understand and have you to be solid and solidified in what you believe. Amen. So I'm just opening up this altar for you. At the end of this service, just come down and let's pray. Let's get it right. Don't leave today without it being right. So, Father, right now, I just thank you for these awesome people. I thank you that the Word of God is solidified within their heart, that today that they take dominion over their households, over their families, over all that you've given them the right to have dominion over. That today they leave in charge, they leave power, empowered, and leave, Lord, just ready to go out and tackle the world. I declare, Lord, today that their lives are changed, their destinies are altered. They're going to walk in everything that you called them to walk in. And Lord, I give you praise for it, and I give you thanks for it. Now bless them, Lord. Let us run across people all this week that we can just tell the good news of the gospel. And Lord, we thank you for it in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. And amen. God bless you, church.